everyone, and welcome to the 186th episode of the Poorly Planned Podcast. My name is Benedict. You may know me better as BHL Hudson. Here we talk about movies, TV shows, a bunch of nonsense. With me as always is my friend, co-host, and scientist buddy, Frederick.
It's better than last week's park-goer pensionist.
Last week's, I believe, somewhere along the lines of duck murderer, something like that.
Ah, yes, of course.
No, this week you are a scientist because you're out here conducting lab work like an absolute boss.
I'm conducting lab work. I'm doing a lot of the dissertation lab work I have to do for my next year's dissertation. Been busy in the lab, but finished most of it today. Feeling good. Went home, took a nap, and then woke up. Pod.
A post-nap pod. There's nothing quite like it.
You best believe.
We congratulate you on that. Sounds
thank you, sir.
A lot more intense than whatever finale I have coming up for my film course, which I don't even know, but it's probably not going to be.
Just kind of winging it, honestly.
I'm slightly concerned because everyone's like, oh, yeah, I have this big dissertation, this big thing to write, and I'm like, oh, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing next year, but we shall see. I also...
Dissertation due tomorrow? Oh, shit.
I didn't have a nap, but I did have a pre-pod brownie, so I'm feeling good. So today, we're talking news. We got a couple of things. We got, we have like three trailers, pretty much.
Okay.
Then we're going to be talking Fast X, which came out last week, which I have seen, you have not.
I think we can create a bit of banter with it.
Probably still talk about it a little bit. I have some thoughts, and I think you'll enjoy some things that happen in it. And also, I have a little anecdote to open up with. So if you want to skip around, there are time codes down below.
Dare.
But I actually have a great anecdote. Dare I say also, there's some great Tom Knews. It's going to be a bit of a banging episode, I'm not going to lie. But
God, I'm excited.
We open it with this amazing anecdote, which I just genuinely completely forgot, which is concerning, you know, alcohol related reasons why that happened. But
of course
I was
the norm, that is.
Because this happened a few weeks ago, and the other day I was like, I was waiting for the train and I was flipping like my bicycle, like my little travel card around, and I was like, oh, what if I just like flick this, like, you know, sort of like a playing card or something, and then it all came rushing back to me. So a couple of weeks ago, while I was still in Ireland, and this is one of the, just a very strange scenario that happened, but I was at our favorite pub/club in my town, my uni town, and I was talking to someone there, and she was like, oh, what do you study? And I said, oh, you know, I'm doing film. And she said, oh, you're doing film. Have you seen Now You See Me? And I was like, I have. I'm a big fan of Now You See Me. And
God, what a... You study film. Huh? Name every movie kind of scenario.
Really, really absurd transition. But then she looks me dead in the eye and goes, do you know the card scene in Now You See Me? I was like, yes, yeah, I'm familiar. And she goes, the guy who coordinated that is here tonight. He's my friend. He's over there. So
what?
Apparently, a legitimate, like, real-life magician who coordinated the Now You See Me card scene. I'm assuming the one where, you know, they're flipping it back and forth and it's a code on something. Apparently...
Not the bingo, bango, bongo scene.
That did take a lot of coordination.
It took a real magician for that shit.
Apparently, he was at this, like, shitty club pub thing in this small Irish city. It was just a mind-blowing moment.
What? And did you meet him?
Well, that, I feel like if I'd been sober, I would have immediately... First of all, I would have had a lot of questions. What is he doing here? How do you know him?
Are you okay? Are you safe? Do you need to call the police?
What does he have on you? But because of the state I was in, I believe I probably said, like, no fucking way.
I vomited on her and left.
And then I went and grabbed one of my friends and yelled in his face, the guy who made Now You See Me's here. And he was probably very confused and then just kind of moved on with my night.
I don't study film. I don't know what that is.
But I just recalled that the other day, and I was just such an absurd interaction that in hindsight, I should have had so many questions for.
That is crazy. What the?
So I don't know if that's true. It seems not true, if I'm honest. The odds of that guy being at that pub seems wrong.
Yeah. Do you keep in contact with this girl or no?
I do have a method of contact. That'd be great. just text her. By the way,
letter pigeon.
Remember that shit you said about that "now you see me" guy?
All right, I run a podcast. Check out this time. Could you answer our questions, please?
Could I maybe get an interview?
I now suddenly know what my final year project is.
What an amazing film dissertation that would be. An interview with the real magician who's maybe from Cork, Ireland, who coordinated one scene in Now You See Me 2. Electric
God.
Ruffalo? I don't know.
Now You See Me 2.
Erect Ruffalo.
A beautiful subtitle.
Anyway, we're going to move swiftly forward to the news of the week. We're going to actually start with a death, a fictional death. Well, one could say.
Well, okay.
Did you see Quentin Tarantino apparently said that canonically Rick Dalton died this week?
I did not see him say that.
The sheer panic in your eye? What? Fuck. I missed the wake?
Fuck. Doomsday is happening?
This is worst case scenario? Yeah, so apparently... I mean, I was kind of confused by it, because I just saw a bunch of stuff that was like, RIP Rick Dalton, he was a real one. And I was like, am I missing something here? But...
Is he dead?
So apparently, yeah. I mean, like, in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood universe, Rick Dalton dies in May 2023 at the age of 90, apparently.
Okay.
I mean,
What?
There's not a lot really to this. I just thought I'd include...
Was this a tweet by Quentin or something?
I think he said it on a podcast or something, but...
God, it sounds like he was like, you know what? I'm going to choose the most random-ass fact from all my movies and say that whilst high on mushrooms.
Yeah. Also, there are a lot of other characters in the Tarantino-verse that, like, if we're just giving out, like, fictional character biographies, like, shouldn't, you know...
Yeah.
Couldn't he be like, you know, Samuel Jackson in The Hateful Eight died 30,000 years ago, or whenever that movie takes place. He died yesterday.
Samuel Jackson actually walked with the dinosaurs.
But yeah, Rick Dalton, RIP, I guess.
Okay, very sad news.
Because, you know, we generally try to avoid covering real celebrity deaths on the show, because it's such a, you know, goofy show that I feel like we wouldn't do it justice. But I feel like Rick Dalton, RIP Rick Dalton, I guess.
Well, I was not expecting this, and they say the news you don't expect is always the saddest news sometimes.
Do they? What a saying. The news maybe you didn't see coming, I guess, sometimes isn't great. A classic fable. Well, speaking of Rick Dalton, moving swiftly on from that, did you see the trailer for Killers of the Flower Moon, starring Rick Dalton himself, Leonardo DiCaprio? And
I did not see Leonard DiCaprio's new movie trailer.
Damn it. Well, it is...
I apologize.
It's all good, I guess. It's the new Martin Scorsese film.
Okay.
Starring, and I want to say the first ever team-up of Scorsese's two greatest actor loves, DiCaprio and De Niro.
Ooh, is that really the first ever team-up?
At least in a Scorsese film, I think. But yeah, it's... Actually, and this is where I can be real, like, either nerd BHL or cool, I got, like, an interesting thing to say at a cocktail party BHL.
Okay.
But
okay.
It is based on a book.
The two personas.
It is based on a book that I am currently reading. So, when the movie comes out, I can give us an in-depth scoop on how accurate it is.
Well, you know, I didn't love this scene because in the book it was really more riveting.
That's the BHL at a cocktail party persona?
That's the cool BHL.
That's BHL talking to girls about Now You See Me in the Club persona?
You know, the magician's over there. Oh, really? Well, did you know that I'm reading the Leonardo DiCaprio book right now?
I'd like to specify she brought up the magician thing, all right? That's not my go-to line.
I'd be worrying if you brought it up and she was like, by the way, he's here. Hey, do you study film? Yeah, I love Now You See Me. Oh my god, that's incredible.
You'll never guess who's in the building.
Funny you should say that. You're gonna love this.
She pulls out a deck of cards? It was her the whole time? She's Jesse Eisenberg.
I'm about to blow your fucking mind. Did you say she is Eisenberg?
I don't know. Anyway, but so it's a true story. The book is like a nonfiction book, but it's told kind of like in a narrative way. But it's about, I think, like the early 20th century, this like Native American tribe that was moved to this land because of like, you know, how they put Native Americans on reservations and stuff the government did. Mm-hmm. And then they found oil on that land. And so the Native Americans there became like insanely rich because there's oil on their land. And so that's kind of like the backdrop. And then I'm only like a little bit into the book, but then some murders start happening and then the FBI starts getting involved. So I think DiCaprio is like an FBI guy in this. Again, haven't read a lot of the book yet, but should be good. The trailer looks like a very, you know, like a Scorsese trailer. It looks like a good movie. It is 3.5 hours long, which like, I'm not nuts
not
about.
Crazy about.
I think my mother actually put it very well when we were talking about like how long movies are now, and she was like, doesn't anyone have like an editor anymore? And I was like, you know what?
You know what, mother?
You tell them, mother.
You know what, BHL mother? Yes.
But I mean, like, I guess, you know, it's not inherently anything wrong with it, but, and I guess Scorsese can do literally anything, but remember The Irishman? That was like 8 hours long.
Was that Scorsese's movie?
It was, yeah. And it's like,
okay, I've not seen.
You know, any movie could be 4 hours long, but you know, you cut some stuff out.
You don't really need it.
You need everything.
Like, I think, and it might work better in this one because I think the longer a movie is, the more spectacle it's got to have, the more wow factor, if you will.
Ooh.
So like a movie like Avatar being, or like Avengers being really, really long, or Lord of the Rings, I can get behind it.
Mm.
But
I feel like you may get
an Irishman.
You may get cooked for this take if some film pretentious snobs listen to this, but I do understand what you're saying. I'm not saying it can't justify it, but you're right. I feel like generally those runtimes should be reserved for like epic films, and generally that's kind of like an Avatar or Lord of the Rings. I'm not saying this can't be that, but it's a little bit like, come on, Marty. You could maybe squeeze it down to 2 hour 45.
Scorsese, please.
My boy, let me tell you how to make movies, all right? You clearly don't know what you're doing.
Let me cook, sir, please.
But anyway, it might be amazing. It got really good reviews, and maybe it justifies the runtime. Who knows?
When does it come out?
November, but it premiered at Cannes. Mm. It does also have a cheeky, and I thought I saw him in there, but then I didn't see him at the cast at the end, so I thought I was wrong, but then I did see on Twitter, Brendan Fraser does make a little cameo. The whale himself, he's back in a big way. It is slightly unfortunate that although that was a great performance, I feel like in the modern era, Brendan Fraser will constantly now be tied to the whale just because of the memeability of it. Like the first thing I saw was,
you know, Brendan, the whale, yeah.
Well, the first thing on Twitter I saw was the shot of him from the trailer, and then they just superimposed the whale on top of him. A classic, but
that is very funny.
Anyway, speaking of things that look like absolute cinema, did you see the trailer for FNAF, the movie?
FNAF? I did not.
Do you know what FNAF stands for?
Wait.
Oh boy.
Fighting?
Hmm.
Nepotism.
Ooh.
Against.
Right.
Finish. Fellas.
Okay, I appreciate you at least adding an extra F on the end there, but there's just one F there. But FNAF does in fact stand for
Never Let Me Cook.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was really good. It stands for Five Nights at Freddy's, your favorite franchise.
Ooh, FNAF, yes.
FNAF. Thank you.
Mm.
Anyway.
I heard there was a trailer out and I did not watch it.
Well, you didn't miss a lot. It's more of a teaser than anything else, but it just shows, you know, the animatronics, and I think Matthew Lillard, a.k.a. live-action Shaggy, is in it.
Shaggy?
Yeah, as it says on his business cards, a.k.a. live-action Shaggy? Could be him. Maybe it's someone else. Who knows?
If it isn't, he really should be.
Yeah. And it also has fucking, what's his name? The guy from Hunger Games. The kind of...
Peter.
Yeah, him. Whatever he's called.
Something, is it something Hutchinson? Is that right?
Josh Hutchinson. Wow. You've really... Wow. You've really outdone yourself here. Josh Hutchinson.
Genuinely so impressed.
He does make his, I'm going to say, big screen return. I don't know what else he's been in.
Yeah, I know he was like a pretty big child actor. Then Hunger Games and then...
He feels then, a little bit...
FNAF.
The career trajectory we all dream of. He does feel a little bit like a Rupert Grint scenario, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He has kind of heavy Grint energy. Do you have any interest in the FNAF franchise? And side note, did you ever watch YouTube videos about the amazing canon and lore of the FNAF universe?
My FNAF knowledge and enjoyment extends to the first two games.
Okay.
And then the zombies, like the Nazi zombies Call of Duty mods you could download.
Oh, okay. I thought they made a FNAF, like, zombie Nazi game.
No, so, like, it was basically you're in FNAF, and then the animals are the zombies. And that's what I did.
All right. So an extensive cool knowledge, I would say.
So I'm somewhat of an expert in the field. I think it was fine. I don't know how, I mean, who knows how they're going to make this. Like, does it look like the first game where it's just like one guy in a control room and then they're just kind of...
Yeah, pretty much. He's just like in an abandoned, you know, or empty fucking Chuck E. Cheese place and then, you know, the scary animatronics or whatever. I mean, I remember they were super popular back in the day because, like, they kind of went viral with, like, PewDiePie and Markiplier and all those, you know, channels playing them. And then it became a thing where, like, there's just, like, an ass load of lore to it. Like, did you ever watch Game Theory, MatPat?
I feel like I have a little bit, but
he made, like,
I don't think I've watched the FNAF version of it.
He made, like, 50 million videos about it, which I remember when I was, you know, 14, whatever. I watched the first few, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting, because, like, oh, my God, it's, like, a guy from the 80s, he put dead children in the suits or whatever, it's so crazy. And then it, like, there's like 50 videos and it's like, and actually back in fucking 1600 this bullshit happened. Like, I don't, who cares really? So
okay.
I'm curious.
There's no way it's that extensive, you guys.
I'm curious to see if they go for more of just like the jump scare scary robot, or if they try to go more of like pleasing that specific fandom who I think want all this kind of like lore backstory stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be better served kind of going more the mainstream route and just going like...
Yeah, you know, almost scary. Certainly. I'd like, if anyone comes in thinking like... Because I think everyone kind of knows Five Nights at Freddy's, like, you know, I think everyone's got a vague idea of, or at least most people have a vague idea of what it is. But so if they go in with that kind of vague idea, it's like, okay, animatronics, gonna be scary, let's go for a quick, simple time, and then they start explaining 1700s historical lore. I don't think that's... Not the move.
The FNAF animatronics in the French Revolution.
Yeah, that is not what you want to see.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I have a friend who is a big FNAF enjoyer. And
FNAF Renaissance enjoyer.
And I think she wants, like, yeah, like the lore explored. Explored. But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, why not? I'll go see it. If it's in the cinema, I'll go.
You saw Smile.
I saw Smile. I saw Evil Dead Rise. I go watch scary movies, but I never. Just going quickly back to what you said, I never thought I'd ever hear the phrase that someone is invested in the FNAF lore.
You'd be very surprised.
I did not know there was FNAF lore in the first place. So hearing someone is very invested is mildly concerning.
We move on to the final piece of news here, which is, I'm hoping you've seen this one, because it is kind of in our wheelhouse. Sorry, my chair is creaking like ass. Not that that's an expression. The trailer for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
You best believe I've seen it.
Yes, let's go. Thank God. Okay.
Let's go.
I pot saved. what are we thinking of this one? I'm actually pulled up real quick.
Let me actually watch it. Honestly, I love the Mission Impossible movies. I've never really been super hyped, with the exception of the Comp, the trailers have never really, like, hyped me more than I already would be for the movie. I just already super excited to see the movie. So the trailers is like, okay, yeah, looking good, but not like, it's not like you see some of the trailers like you would Suicide Squad or Guardians or something like that, and it's like, it blows you out of the water, and you're like, oh my god, this looks insane, I'm so excited. It does look insane, but I already had that excitement within me because it is a Cruise movie. So I'm equally as hyped as I was before after seeing it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this trailer didn't do anything to diminish or really build my hype for the film. I think it's a serviceable enough trailer. I think there's some of these movies where you kind of, the trailer kind of just gives you more of a vibe. Like, there isn't really a moment that I can tell you, except the part where Tom Cruise turns around and he has sunglasses on. He looks really cool. That part I do remember.
Yeah, but does look kind of swaggy.
But the rest of it, it's like, yeah, you know, it looks, and I think once you get in the, I think maybe it was Top Gun Maverick even, but there was something else where, yeah, like, the trailer doesn't really blow you away, and you get in the cinema and, like, just, like, there are so many scenes that you remember, and it's actually, like, a very exceptional film, which this looks just great, and based on the track record, it should be. But yeah, there's not, I think also maybe because a lot of the other trailers have been built on the stunts being a big part of the trailer, and this one doesn't really, are they going a little more stunt light on this one? Because we've seen the big one, which obviously is insane, the one where he jumps off the cliff, but is there another stunt here that's, like, kind of something?
I don't know. Again, like, it would make sense if they're going to go slightly lighter on the stunts if they've put so much training and effort into that one big one. But at the same time, they could also just be saving it for us. Like, we don't want to reveal too much in the trailers, and then you'll go in and see some insane ones. I mean, obviously, like, the motorcycle one is going to be the biggest stunt, but I do assume and hope that we'll get a bit more, we love the action in these movies, so I hope that they keep that up.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I think, I think, Mission Impossible 6, even though I love it, I remember in the trailer there was, like, a little montage where they're like, how's Ethan? He's like, you know, same old Ethan. And then it's just, like, a montage of him just, like, fucking flying into walls and jumping off motorcycles and shit. And I think, hopefully they're hiding a little bit, and it looks like there's still some great action scenes, like some great hand-to-hand stuff. It just looks quite good.
Love hand stuff.
Just lots of Cruise hand stuff. I will say, in both of these trailers, there's a part where, because I saw the first, like, the original teaser for this movie in the cinema the other day, and there's a part where, like, someone's saying, like, you're fucked, Cruise, everything's shit, or whatever, and then Cruise is kind of like, you think he's gonna say something cool, and he just kind of, like, does, like, a face, he just does, like, a bit of a grimace, he's like, and I'm like, that's a little bit cringe. Also, I can't get over, just, again, seeing it in the cinema, I can't get over how much it looks like it's just a Cruise suicide, the end of that trailer, where he just, like, flies off the cliff, because it's like, it can very much be the end of the film. He's like, you know what? I've had enough of this shit. He just flies off the cliff.
Yeah. He's got the bomb strapped to himself. He's like, I do this for my family.
And he's just like, because also just his fucking,
like, the plutonium's going down with me.
Like, frog formation he does when he jumps off, like, whoo. Just a majestic flying
I'm
on the wind.
Free.
Also, by the way, I was rewatching the trailer for Mission Impossible 6 the other day, and I completely forgot that at the end of that trailer, I don't know if you remember this, they CGI, like, the helicopter chase at the end to make the shot more exciting, I guess. They CGI his helicopter going down, like, a road towards, like, a giant truck. Do you remember this? That just wasn't in the movie?
No, I do not remember.
It's an insane shot, and once you know it's not in the movie, it's the most funny fucking thing ever, because I guess they wanted to make it more exciting, so they just CGI'd, like, him heading directly towards a truck in the trailer. And it's
I feel like, I'll go back and watch it, but
it's
like,
so absurd.
That rings a bell.
Because it's like,
where he's just headed direct, yeah.
Getting another Cruise-icide moment, because you think, like, watching that trailer, you're like, how's he going to get out of this one? It's like, yeah, he totally couldn't, because they just completely fucking faked that. But anyway.
He's dead. But maybe, it'd be funny that this entire stunt has just been for the trailers.
He doesn't actually do it in the movie. He drives up to the cliff and just swerves.
He drives up to the cliff, he goes, nah, drives back.
Or imagine he thinks it's going to be in the movie and the director's like, yeah, actually, we decided to cut this one. Didn't really fit the story. And Cruise just, like, I don't know, throws a fucking chair at him or something. I feel like that's Cruise movie.
Very Cruise movie.
Cruise tapes him to the motorcycle, pushes him off the cliff. I feel like that's actually more of a Cruise movie.
Cruise films it. It's found footage for the movie.
He's like, this will go in the fucking movie.
Beautiful epilogue.
It's a post credits.
Just homage.
Just straight up murdering the director.
In honor of the director's name, whoever he is. Imagine that. Imagine the absolute balls on the man. He murders him and then dedicates the movie to him. That's a... In loving memory of Steven.
So it's a very Cocaine Bear in loving memory of Ray Liotta as he gets, like, mauled by mini Cocaine Bears from it.
Very true.
Anyway, we're going to move swiftly on to the topic for this week, where...
Oof.
We are going to be talking the latest Fast and Furious film, Fast X.
Return of the Momo.
Of the Momo.
Or the...
The Momo. Okay. We are going to talk the Momo.
Ooh. Okay.
But so, all right, so you have not seen this film. I have.
I've not seen it.
Do you have any plans to see it? I will ask.
I do have plans to see it, but I do not care that you spoil it for me.
Okay. I think we're gonna have a good time here.
Okay.
Let's say spoilers. Spoilers for Fast X. Although, who gives a flying fuck, really? Like, even
well,
if you...
It's made so much money, though, hasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Was it $312 million opening weekend or some shit?
Yeah, it did pretty well. I don't want to...
I was disappointed to hear of its success.
Yeah, I'm not trying to prey on anyone or any movie's downfall, but if there was a franchise that, like, I wouldn't mind... not making money, it might be this one. But I mean, I think you remember when we talked about the last one, Yassine and I walked out of that movie and we both made like a promise to each other. We were like, we are never seeing one of these movies again. And yet here we were back in
here you were opening weekend.
Yeah, to be fair though, nothing else is playing and I just really wanted to go to the cinema. So I would have gone and sat in silence in the Supreme Bio with a popcorn for 2 hours. Just saying.
Creepy, but I get you.
Yeah, just watching other people. My seat is swiveled the other way around. I'm just staring at everyone else.
Other people's enjoyment is the real show.
Fast X. Oh, God. Okay.
Where do I begin?
Where do we even start here? Do we start with Momoa? Because he's the kind of the biggest new thing going on here.
Well, please, yes. Tell me about him.
Just an overall. I did not like this movie at all. I did not enjoy it really. Well, that's a lie. I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed the last one. The last one.
Okay.
Did you see the last one?
I did not.
The last one.
The last one I've seen was them jumping over a massive torpedo submarine thing.
Well, that's a lie actually, because we saw Hobbs and Shaw together, which technically.
That is true.
Is actually. Canon, as is proved in this movie with the reappearance of Shaw. And, dare I say, perhaps someone else, who's to say, but...
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. But...
Ooh. What?
Fast and Furious 9, I found it, like, just so stupid that it wasn't fun. Like, these previously were kind of stupid fun, and that one, it was, like, it was just so... Yeah.
It's mind-numbingly...
Just,
idiotic.
Yeah, there was no enjoyment in how over the top it was. It was just like, nothing means anything, and it's just kind of boring and not interesting. And I also thought it was kind of boring because, like, there was a lot of backstory of, like, my dad was a race driver, and then you killed him, Jason Momoa, or John Cena. Anyway, this one, I felt like there was less of that. I found more, like, entertainment. I had a little bit more, like, so bad it's good fun. I feel like if we'd woodied this movie, I feel like it would have been kind of enjoyable. There's, Yassine and I had some good chuckles at certain points. But it suffers from the same thing of it being just so, like, moronic that it's not even fun. And we discussed this afterwards. I think I found the problem here, where I think the people... This is just a theory, but I think the people making the movies are aware that they're, like, complete, you know, garbage, and they're trying to make it, like, more fun and kind of, like, I don't know, not lean into it, but kind of, you know, a little bit like 7 and 8 were, I feel like, more kind of, you know, enjoyable stupid. And I feel Vin Diesel, maybe, because these seem kind of like an ego project for him, thinks that they're genuine, like, great films. And so he's trying to, like, actually make them good, which is...
Okay,
it
so
turns
you've
out
got
terrible.
That kind of contradiction.
So there's... I feel there's something wrong here, because sometimes I'm like, they're definitely aware that they're stupid, but they don't... They're not good at being aware that they're stupid. They're just stupid they're aware they're stupid, and they're just stupid. They don't do anything with it. You know what I
mean? Yeah. So, like, as much as we hate the guy, especially you, I will say, for, like, adhering to this, I think someone who is aware of how silly everything that, like, everything that's going on is, Tyrese.
Oh, my God. Dude. Tyrese in this movie. Okay, I don't hate Tyrese. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. Tyrese in this movie, I am not joking. It may be the worst comedic performance that has ever been put in by any actor. Like, I swear, I have never heard a cinema so quiet after a joke. It was unbelievable. It was like legitimate cricket, like, I can't fathom what they've... Sorry, I'm getting way too...
I cannot imagine what moron put him on the set.
Like, the thing is, he doesn't even, like, do jokes, really. Like, he's kind of like, it's like...
The most insane Tyrese hatred.
Sorry, I'm not trying to go, like, too... He's just, like, there's a bit of the opening where he has, like, three jokes at the start, and it's, like, the most...
it's a triple.
It's, like, the most... I don't want to say, like, it's not even the most, like, basic jokes. It's, like, just, like... Like, it was made by someone who had been hit in the head with, like, a baseball bat multiple times or something. Mm. And, like, the most...
And they were still recovering seconds after.
And they died, and this is what they created. Like, I mean, there's, like, the classic, like, someone's giving a big toast at the barbecue, and then they're, like, interrupted by Tyrese because he just couldn't help himself. He starts eating the barbecue or whatever. And, like, okay, that's, you know, a terrible, stupid joke, but, like... At least that's, like, a semblance of a joke. But then later on, he just, like, I don't understand what the joke was sometimes. He'll, like, he says something in, like, maybe, like, a bit of a weird voice, and then he coughs, and he's like, and he, like, mumbles something that I assume was supposed to be a joke, but, like, I'm like, what was that? What the fuck just happened? And, like, there's just a beat where you're supposed to laugh, and no one laughed, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And him and fucking, sorry, I'll calm down.
No, please, I'm loving it,
Him and Ludacris, they're fucking, like...
Two troublemakers.
I am so tired of their fucking terrible, unfunny, generic, like, old married couple banter of, like, you suck, no, you're an idiot, you're fucking stupid, whatever. And, like, they just do... It's what they've been doing for the past fucking five movies. It's the same shit. And, like, I'm pretty sure they've done the same joke where Ludacris says something, then Tyrese, like, sneezes and goes, sorry, I'm allergic to your bullshit. And it's like, ah! Classic Tyrese moment.
So, you would not say that even though he is a very unfunny, terrible addition to this universe, or, like, part of this universe, would you not say that he helps adding the silly, stupid fun to the movie? It might not be fun, but does he not try to do that? More so than Diesel.
I'm gonna say,
not even.
I'm gonna say no, because I think...
Tyrese also thinks it's a masterpiece.
Do you see Tyrese?
This is like this is a Morbius situation. Thank you so much. Like that tweet where he was like,
yes. "Bro, I feel like most of the Fast and Furious cast does not live in normal reality. I have not seen the actual clips of them talking about it, so maybe they were joking, whatever. I've seen two things of both Vin Diesel and Tyrese Gibson talking about wanting to win Oscars for this movie, and like." I assume that's a joke, but also knowing them as vaguely as I do as their personas, maybe not. And it's like...
I can see... Okay, Tyrese, I've only really seen him being a fool on screen and then hearing his weird shenanigans off screen. So I can't really... It doesn't sound implausible. And Vin Diesel, I can totally see him being like, this is a great movie. I'm Groot and I won an Oscar. I can definitely see him being like, this is a passion project. I'm going to win it.
What I was going to say on those two comparisons is if the movies played it a little bit more straight or like, because I think Vin Diesel kind of gets a couple of laughs in his unintentional funny way because like he's so melodramatic. It's like, okay, like that could be a little bit, you know, sort of like so bad it's good funny. Tyrese is just like, you know, when someone's just like bombing at doing comedy, it's just like... painful.
You know when someone's doing their first stand-up and you throw tomatoes at them.
It's just like, it's just bad. We can talk Momoa, though, who is by far my favorite part of this film, just because he is fucking insane. Like, it is...
It does look like from the trailers and an unhinged Momoa performance.
But they have done a... If you think of the trailers, he's unhinged. Just wait until you see the film, because he's... They've hidden it a bit in the trailer. You're like, okay, he looks like a kind of different villain. He is like... I think what they were trying to go for is because Vin Diesel in these movies is... And again, I would like to stress, I have nothing against any of these people in real life. This is just about the movie. Vin Diesel in these movies is the most charismaless, like, complete, you know, plank of wood.
Yeah, that I think, he is genuinely just... You could put a thumb, enlarge it, and that's Vin Diesel.
I think that's what they do, actually. and I think they told Jason Momoa to be the complete opposite. So he's, like, the zaniest, most, like, insane performance where he's I think he's trying to channel like the Joker vibes, because he's just like screaming and laughing and doing ballet moves and like making weird jokes and stuff, and he like there's a part where he has like a tea party with a bunch of corpses and stuff, which is kind of one of the better scenes of the film. And
okay,
so in that I kind of enjoyed that part because he's just so fucking weird that it's like
just completely, yeah, completely unhinged.
He like he'll just like jump from like platform to platform, just like going like ah, just like an actual like insane demon.
Woozah!
I'm sure he makes that sound in this movie at some point. I guess I like the Momoa. His backstory is stupid.
Is the backstory not that he was like wronged in some way by Dom in the past?
He was the son of the guy they robbed in one of the movies, and then they killed his dad or whatever, and now he's, you know, out to kill Dom's family and whatnot. But
when are they not out to kill Dom's family, though?
Also, this movie has so many actors in it that a large part of it is just scenes of actors showing up and being like, I'm here. Let me go through this cast real quick, because I mean, and normally this would maybe be a good thing, but it's an insane cast that is just fucking kind of, there's so much going on that it'll cut between scenes and then it'll go back to another character. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing again? Why is Han talking?
Is this the return of Han, or was that the last movie?
The last movie was the return of Han. So in this movie we have Diesel, Momoa, we have fucking, okay. the guy, I think he's in something you really like, Blue Mountain State. He's also
the really tall Chad guy,
the micro penis guy from New Girl.
Yeah, okay,
he's in it.
Jack Reacher.
I kind of liked him a little bit. He's all right.
Rita, I like him. He's good.
Yeah. Rita Moreno, Dom's abuelita, his grandmother. Michelle Rodriguez, Brie Larson's in this in like a really stupid. Let me just go through everyone real quick. Han, Tyrese, Charlize Theron is back. Jason Statham is back. Mia's back. John Cena's back. They brought back Scott Eastwood for some fucking reason. Fucking Helen Mirren is in this. Daniela Melchor, Ratcatcher 2 from Suicide Squad, she's in this.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Ludacris, forgot about him. Natalie Emmanuel Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Pete Davidson has a cameo.
And yet, can I just say, I hear all this, all these additions and all these the continuations, and yet they don't have the one guy who made the franchise mildly enjoyable.
Well.
No.
Well.
No.
Well.
Don't tell me.
Well. I mean, I don't. Do you? Are we? What are we doing here? Are we good with a spoiler of this variety?
Tell me.
I'll put it like this. He's not in the movie, really. There is possibly a post credits. And who's to say who shows up? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe we'll leave this one. We'll leave this one. You know, maybe it's a, that's where Han shows up. He's not in the rest of the movie. It's a Han cameo. They're like, you were in the last movie. Why are you hiding?
Statham tried to kill me again.
Well, him and fucking Statham have like a fight that's really stupid because they show up to recruit Statham and then Statham's like, only reason someone I've killed shows up at my door is because they want revenge. And instead of saying, like, no, Han just, like, looks at him so they can have a fight, and then he can be like, no, I'm actually here to recruit you. And it's like, you wouldn't actually do that.
I've not seen the last movie, but I'm still confused. How's Han alive? Did Statham not kill him?
No, they faked his death. Mr. Nobody. What's his name? Handsome man. Mr. Nobody.
Ego.
Yeah, Ego. They faked his death. Brie Larson, by the way, is the daughter of Ego.
Did Statham know that Han was alive?
I do like that whenever we talk about Fast and Furious, you get very hung up on the Statham-Han death thing, even though I believe this has been explained many a time before. No, Statham...
I still cannot wrap my head around it.
I don't really know, because I don't care, and I don't like these movies, but I think what happened was Mr. Nobody was like, Han, I want you in my crew. And then, they were like, we're going to fake your death so Statham doesn't try to kill you or something. And then they faked his death. And then, you know.
But I thought the whole thing was that Statham was after him.
Well, nothing means anything in these movies because the biggest fucking, again, nothing means anything. It's stupid. Who cares? But John Cena's back in this movie. In the last movie, he was Dom's brother who was evil and, you know, he, at the very least, I think, accidentally killed their dad. He definitely tried to kill Dom a bunch of times. I think there was some kind of genocide-y plan in there. He was trying to do something bad. He had a super weapon. He was probably trying to kill everyone. He definitely murdered a bunch of people in some car chases. Whatever. Bad guy. In this movie, he is literally... And I do not say...
literally the goat.
He is John Cena, the person. He is not a character. It is John Cena. It... A lot of this movie is dedicated to...
It's a peacemaker.
No, not even... Because Peacemaker, he's playing a character. It plays... He spends a lot of this movie with Dom's son. It plays like a video that would be in, like, for Jimmy Fallon or something, of, like, John Cena goes on a road trip with a kid. He's just doing John Cena. He's just being... You know, John Cena's lovely and great, but, like, he's just being super nice and, like, hey, buddy, I'm your Uncle Jason, whatever the fuck. Like, I love you, buddy. Let's get in the car. This is going to be great. And they dance to some tunes. They do all this. I'm like, it's just like, I know nothing matters or whatever, but it's like if Jason Momoa in this movie, the next movie showed up and he was like, I'm your best friend, Dom. Let's get a Corona.
Hey, Ludacris.
Let's have some banter with Tyrese.
So is it like similar to the way that Statham is like doing the plane seam and helping Dom in like one of the previous movies?
Yeah, but...
Just like...
But way more extreme, because like Statham still has like some, you know, like he's kind of gruff and he's kind of, you know, whatever. In this one, he's just like, I don't want to say it feels like, this sounds really bad, but just in terms of like the vibe, it feels like a John Cena going to, you know, he does like a lot of Make-A-Wish stuff. It feels like a John Cena like Make-A-Wish thing, because he's like, he's just the nicest human being, which again, John Cena seems like he's in real life. That's great. But in this movie, I'm like, wasn't he genociding last time I saw him? I don't know. Anyway, the action is whatever. There's some really goofy CGI at some points, but it's exactly the action you're expecting. I'm trying to think if there's anything, you know.
What's the goofiest moment in this movie?
Goofiest. It's not even goofiest, but it's fucking like, again, a scene that I would dare I label incomprehensible. there's pretty much the entire side story of, you know, Ludacris and Tyrese going off on their hijinks is like really bad. There's a scene where Pete Davidson has a cameo, and first of all, I like Pete Davidson. He's not good here. The scene, regardless of Pete Davidson's presence, just like it's such a confusing scene, because it's like the culmination of the Ludacris Tyrese, you know, beef thing. Like, that's the thing, I don't get, like, what happened. They start, like, fighting, and it's, like, kind of a pretend fight, but then they start really fighting, and then Pete Davidson is just, like, they keep cutting to Pete Davidson going, like, ooh, ah, don't touch that printer, doing, like, little improvs, and it's, like, the movie's just, like, fucking horrendously edited at times. Like, there's just, like, it cuts to a shot real quick, and then it cuts to another one, and it's, like, fucking, it's hard to explain without having the footage in front of me, but it's just, like, I don't know, very bad. Okay. Goofiest moment, there's very a moment strange. Where Dom and his kid are going down a fucking mountain or something, and like, there's fire engulfing their car, and it goes into this, like, CGI zoom shot, like, up his arm and then past his face, and it looks fucking ridiculous. There's also Charlize Theron and Michelle Rodriguez start fighting at one point, and I'm like, why are we fighting?
Why is Charlize still there?
Why is Charlize still there? That's a good question. She's also... There are so many actors who are way too good to be in this shit. Like, Brie Larson is, like, really a great actress, and she's just, like... It just feels... I feel like they must have... Some of these actors must get on the set and be like, oh, this is like, okay, it's like doing something like a kid's movie or something. Like a movie made by a kid. It's like, okay, I guess I have to stand on the spot and say like, come help me, Dom. You're the... There's a part where, like, Dom carries off an injured Brie Larson, and that feels very much like a Vin Diesel, like, now I'm the big, strong man. I'll carry you off in my arms because okay, I'm so muscly.
As they're reading the script. Okay, Brie, there's going to be a scene, right, where you're going to faint, and I'm going to pick you up into my big, thick, veiny arms, and we're going to run into the sunset, okay?
There is also... I don't know if this... I think this was in Fast 9, but... In that movie, I remember we talked about Helen Mirren and Vin Diesel have insane sexual chemistry, and it's really unnerving. They have way better chemistry than him and Michelle Rodriguez, and in this movie, again, they share one scene, and the sparks are flying. That's the most, like, passion I've seen in Vin Diesel's cold, dead eyes ever in a performance. He's, like, looking at Helen Mirren, and she's, like, stroking his cheek, and I'm like, God damn. Get a fucking room.
God damn, I'm getting hard right now. Holy shit.
But yeah, I feel like I've sufficiently ranted.
I very much enjoyed it.
But yeah.
Interesting.
are you even more hyped now?
I'm incredibly hyped to go see this. I mean, just think of any more questions I may have. Okay. Charlize, what's the deal? Because last I saw her, she was... evil. Is she still evil, or is she...
No, well, less evil. They make reference to,
she's
like...
She's now good.
She shows up... She even says, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or whatever, because Jason Momoa is out to get her as well, and Dom's like, you shot my wife in front of my child, or whatever. By the way, there's a lot of that, of, like, they meet up with Daniela Melchor, who's the sister of his wife, who wasn't Michelle Rodriguez, or whatever, and I'm like, do you really think the people who watch these movies... people don't remember the fucking wife he had 3 movies ago that most people haven't seen, and then you show
the only person who's not in these movies anymore that people still remember is Paul Walker.
Yeah, which, by the way, I thought they were going to bring him back in this. I feel like that's coming. I feel like in one of these next 2, like the big finale, they're bringing him, you know, bringing him back CGI style. It's just a really fucking stupid movie. It's a little bit more fun than the last one. I think you will have a good time with it. There's like...
it's a really stupid movie. I think you'd love it.
I think there are things that we mutually would enjoy there. But okay. It's really fucking bad. It has a really stupid ending as well. I guess I won't spoil that exactly, but it's just pointless and dumb, and you're like, they try to do something, and you're like, that doesn't work for this kind of film.
Is this where they race for at the end? Do they race?
No.
Is that the finale?
No. Although that is also a slightly amusing scene. I don't know. There's a part where they're in Brazil before that race, and then Dom pulls up, and he's got, you know, all the Brazilians love him, whatever, but then Jason Momoa's got his crew, whatever, and they all point like a billion guns at each other, and Jason Momoa's like, what if we just all start shooting each other? And I was picturing just... they genuinely all massacre one another in, like, an extremely violent, realistic scene. But,
gang war?
To be fair, the race scene was maybe one of the better scenes, but it was also still bad. It's a bad movie.
I feel like even if there is a good scene or good moments in these films, they're just kind of bogged down by the fact that it's in these movies. So it takes away a bit...
Yeah.
Like, would you, like, if you see, like, what the race scene or some of the other action scenes in this movie, in another movie completely unrelated to the you know, the canon, as you say, and, like, completely, yeah, just in a completely different movie with different plot and everything, probably be seen as a much better action scene than it's seen here, don't you think?
Probably, yeah. I'd probably be a little bit more lenient if it wasn't followed by, like, 10 minutes of, you know, Tyrese. There's also, yeah, there's a part where Tyrese just has money strapped all over his body. It's just like, why?
Is Tyrese a stripper in this movie? Be honest with me.
I mean, that would be the one interesting part of his character that would give him actually.
There's a scene where someone sticks a $20 bill into Tyrese's thong, and they really said Blanta's home. It was crazy.
Anyway, I'm sorry for being such a hater, but I think. Not to be a pretentious film person, but I feel like you have, you know, like, cinema, like, pure, you know, like, great movies with real, you know, themes, and they really mean something, make you feel something.
Yeah, you got Cocaine Bear.
Right, yeah, you have Fast 5. Then then you have, like, you know, more blockbustery cinema that can still mean something, make you feel something. You can acknowledge maybe it's a little bit more, you know, junk foody type cinema. You know, some Marvel stuff falls into this. I still think that's a little bit maybe in between above, but whatever. And then below that you have this where it's like just schlock, and it's just, like, not even fun, and it feels like it was made just because, like, I don't know, I can't even say it feels like it's AI generated or it's, like, made as, like, a tax break thing, because, like, clearly someone's put something into these, but, like,
yeah,
it's just bad. These could be so much more fun, basically, I think, is where I'll end it. Like, yeah, these could be really fun, self-aware, kind of stupid blockbusters, and they're just not. They're just, like, kind of painful.
It's a weird middle ground.
Yes. Anyway, that's enough of that. Thank you for sitting through all of that, and I appreciate the questions that I fielded. Again,
I loved it. I love a good angry rant, especially when Tyrese is involved.
Yeah, nothing against anyone. I'm sure Tyrese and Vin are lovely people in real life. It's now time for
the Dumb News.
I do have an excellent piece of Tom Knews here, which I will say, I'm 99% sure is not true. It seems like just like celebrity bullshit gossip, but it is just a great headline. So preface it with, I'm sure this isn't true, but from mirror.co.uk.
Okay.
Shakira, quote, begs Tom Cruise to leave her alone, unquote, amid claims he's, quote, desperate, unquote, to date her. this whole article is fantastic. Shakira is reportedly not interested in pursuing a romantic relationship with Tom Cruise, despite the rumors about the pair, which have been circulating in recent weeks. So they were spotted together at the Formula One Grand Prix. It was recently claimed that Tom was extremely interested in pursuing Shakira and desperate for a date with the star, blah, blah, blah. She has been begging him to stop flirting with her, citing a source who made further comments. It just makes Cruise sound like A, insane, B, kind of like pathetic. The source suggested Tom Cruise was giddy when he met Shakira.
A giddy Cruise.
He came away convinced they had a real connection they need to build on. The source said that for Shakira, she was simply being friendly and posing for photos with Tom 1 minute. Then the next, he was seemingly describing her as his dream woman. According to the source, the situation is said to have been too much for Shakira. She doesn't want to embarrass or upset him, but there's no attraction or romance on her part. She was just being friendly. She's flattered, but not interested.
Okay, this seems like overkill.
Absolutely.
She doesn't want to embarrass Tom Cruise. However, she's never been more unattracted to a human person in her life.
However, he's an ugly sack of shit. That includes
when she watched the six-hour montage of Tyrese.
And finally, it closes out here. Let's see. It has been claimed that this message has been politely shared with Tom. It's been a struggle for him to find the right person, adding that he has high standards, the highest standards, and won't settle for second best. Anyway, I mean, first of all, yeah, this is definitely not true, I think, but if it is true, the picture attached to this article is fucking hilarious, because I'll send you this picture. If you look at this picture with the context that she doesn't care about him at all and he's like madly in love with her, it is objectively really funny.
Let's see this.
But
why does he look like he just landed the American Made
plane? He looks like he's an American Made, does he not?
He does. What in the world, Cruz? She looks like she's wearing glasses to blind herself from Cruz.
So yeah, I think this is just bullshit, and they just like someone saw a picture of them together and they were like, oh, what if they whatever. But I mean, yeah. Cruz and Shakira, what a power couple that would be. But
that would be a great power couple.
Yeah, but also I don't think this is true. And
Cruz is also, I think, 18 years older.
He's 60, she's 46, I want to say.
Yeah. She's 46.
She is.
Okay.
Go off, queen.
She's looking great.
Yeah. Shakira, if I could beg you for a date for a second.
I mean, Shakira, I'll take you to the racetracks anytime.
But yeah, anyway, if true, hilarious. Likely untrue, still kind of funny.
Very good piece of Tom Knews.
And we will be waiting for, you know, when Tom Cruise actually does start dating and settling down. Like the weird, I think like all that, you know, celebrities following their dating and stuff is weird and psychotic. But also, we will be covering it on the Tomk News because we're weird hypocrites.
A lot of the gossip magazines I'm not really there for, but I will in minute detail follow Tom Cruise's love life.
We are Tom Cruise fans?
Full stop. We are Tom Cruise.
We are Tom Cruise. Anyway, we're going to move on to the announcements and such. On the latest pod, which did go up yesterday, so it may be, you know, we'll see what happens here. But Josie says, I'm usually like Garfield on Mondays because I hate them, but I got a notification that a new pod is up. Now I love Mondays. Beautiful comment. That is
a beautiful comment. That's God so damn it. Nice. Garfield reference. Ah, great. Delightful.
However, he ruins it by then saying, hashtag play the damn anime intro.
Which I did see it was not played.
Well, Daniel responds, hashtag play the damn anime intro, which I think is pretty good, despite the message.
Oh. That is...
Al Feld says, I'm wondering what Freddy thought of the drunk Cavill in Enola Holmes 2 and what he thinks about Guvna, Mark Strong, and Sandler in the same movie. Also, have either of you seen the Five Nights at Freddy's movie trailer? Just wondering. Also, I'd like to inform you. Also, I'd like to be informed on when new pod episodes are coming out. Well, for the record, yeah, we're kind of doing a random thing now. We mentioned this before, I'm sorry. It's kind of a new schedule where we put them up when we can. Hopefully one a week, but, you know, we'll see. But, yeah. And Josie says, wait, there's a movie about Freddy? And Al says, no, the robot bear. Or what if it's called... Or what is called if you spend a sleepover at FDK's? Five nights at FDK's would be filled with sweat and cocaine. A cocaine bear. Holy shit, we made a connection. An occasional piece and the offhand comedic moment... Christopher Smith, what a joke. Pretty sure there would also be multiple copies of the original Brett Dalton cardboard cutout lying around, as well as a shrine to Johnny Depp. So I think you have a lot of stuff to respond to here.
I've got a lot of things to digest here. I will say, when they say... Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, do you have a shrine to Johnny Depp?
I've got multiple.
Right, sorry. That
of course.
Foolish.
When they say Sandler... in Enola Holmes.
So I think they're talking about Murder Mystery 2.
Okay. Sandler and who else in, did they say?
The Guvna?
The Guvna. Oh, yes. The Guvna is actually quite enjoyable in Murder Mystery 2. Very, very good. And Sandler, I'm a fan. I do love. And the drunk Cavill in Enola Holmes, delightful.
I feel like a drunk Cavill does sound like a fantastic.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Like seeing him go from The Witcher and Comp Master to just being a drunk genius. I like it.
Cal W says BHL's Eyes Wide Shut opinion reminds me of when I watched a 1979 Russian movie called Stalker. There were really good parts, but the movie was so boring. Thank you. You know, some movies just kind of dull, kind of mid, kind of ass.
Some movies just don't cut it.
Josie says, Back to the Future is easily one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm so happy BHL saw it. I also met Christopher Lloyd on Saturday at Comic-Con, so I'm definitely in the Back to the Future mood. Great review and pod as always. Hashtag my father was a pastor. Hashtag DeSimmons. Hashtag good morning Vietnam. Hashtag better get used to these bars. Hashtag coop. That is a delightful story. Not to... I'd say this not in like a mean way at all. I'm happy he's still alive, Christopher Lloyd. That kind of surprises me. Like, I don't know, just as a, he's doing great, you know? He's only 84. I thought he was like fucking 70 in Back to the Future.
Damn.
Well, good
for
him.
I thought he was in his 70s as well.
Good for Christopher
Lloyd.
He just
looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they do make him up to look a little bit older in that one, but yeah, well, cool. That sounds great. Daniel says, another really great and enjoyable episode. Keep up the truly Bateman-esque work. Thank you, Daniel. One of my favorite episodes in a while. I know they say this often, but I love the cozy nature of this one. Aw, that's sweet. This pod also has some of the funniest moments ever. Keep it up. Can't wait for the next episode. But BHL saying that Misfits 007 was a bad card, I do not agree with. The fight between Salt Poppy and Anthony Taylor was super fun and entertaining. A great fight. I gotta say, I disagree with that heavily. I don't want to get into a thing here with Daniel.
Ooh,
I know he's passionate.
We're gonna do a boxing beef war here.
He's passionate about the YouTube boxing thing. I thought the Salt Poppy Anthony Taylor fight was pretty boring. I'm not gonna lie.
That just ended by decision, yeah.
It did, and there was a lot of clinching. I don't know. Deji versus Swarms was also a fantastic fight. Deji showed his skill, and Swarm showed his toughness. Overall, very entertaining fight. It was better than Soul
That's
Bobby.
Not a sentence I ever thought I'd hear. Deji showed his skill and Swarm showed his toughness.
It was better than Taylor versus Salt Poppy, but I didn't think it was great, but teach their own. And the KSI fight was pretty good besides the elbow. I agree with that. That was a pretty fun fight.
You see that's been overturned now.
I have, yeah, which is good, as it should.
Yeah.
So medium BHL, and by the end of the event, KSI and Tommy Fury faced off. Who do you think wins that fight, if it happens? # good morning, poorly planned podcast. # Danish psycho, .. bussy. I'm going to say KSI, Tommy Fury. I mean, I'm going to go Tommy Fury, but I do think KSI has a little bit of a chance, just because everyone keeps saying like he fights super unorthodox, and I feel like it's a nice way
which he does.
It's a nice way of saying he does not have great technique. He talks about this like
he does not have he does not have much skill or technique. He just fucking is ferociously going for it.
There was a part in the latest fight
which leads to him hitting someone with his elbow.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reason he did the elbow, by the way, again, it was unintentional. It's because he swings like a little bit of a person who doesn't really know how to box. But there was a part in the last one. He says that he calls it like the flyby technique, where it looks like. This is just a specific reference. Do you remember in The Office when Michael and Dwight have their fight in like the karate dojo, and Michael does like the leaps towards Dwight before he like attacks him? That's what it looks like. He's like coming like hoo, 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 and it's like I feel like it either goes like Tommy Fury reads that pretty easily and just kind of like, you know, jabs away at him and sort of does a similar thing to what he did to Jake, or KSI is able to have some success just because he is sort of a little bit unorthodox. Again, nice way of saying like not that great, but yeah. I'm going to lean Tommy Fury, but I feel like it's closer than maybe even the Jake fight.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I'm just a follow-up question. In saying that, do you then think that KSI could beat Jake?
I think he could, but I feel like, weirdly,
Jake would be the favorite.
Yeah, weirdly, I feel like KSI has a better chance of beating Tommy Fury than he does Jake, which I know sounds kind of weird, but that's just kind of...
No, I get you. Different styles matching up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also because Jake's either, so...
Yeah, I've not... Yeah, you say that like he's this god. He's not.
But I think,
you think he could beat the Phenom?
But I think Tommy Fury beats Jake if they fight again. So, like, it's a weird triangle there, but...
Yeah.
But I think Tommy Fury probably beats both of them.
You'd hope so. But,
Be embarrassing if he didn't.
I hope KSI wins, but at the same time, like... I did not expect him to.
I still like him though.
I'd want to see the fight.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fun fight. Him versus Tommy Fury. I actually would be curious to see it. Because also, I feel like, I don't know, also just KSI, even though I like him, you know, I was about to say a lot. I like him. I enjoy the KSI, but he's like so ridiculously and sometimes like kind of stupidly confident that
exactly.
I want to see him either like win
I
and that's.
Literally cannot lose.
Or like if he loses, I'm kind of curious to see what that looks like. So, yeah.
Like, I feel like. When we were, because we used to be incredibly big fans.
Yes.
So I feel like I would not have this mindset back then, because the idea of him losing would be terrible.
Yes.
But now that we've kind of distanced ourselves a little bit, I kind of would like to see it, you know?
No, yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I remember, like, I was...
I don't hope it happens, but if it does happen, I hope it happens in an embarrassing way that I can analyze.
I remember, like, watching the Logan Paul rematch or whatever, like I was genuinely fucking like really nervous, like I was like very invested
too.
and like if Jake had fought him then I would have been, but now like if he fights Jake I'll still be invested. I hope maybe we can watch that fight together if it happens, but
that'd
I would also
yeah.
regardless of what happened I would still just find it kind of funny either way, so like I don't know, I feel like that's a no lose scenario for us, but I still would be rooting for KSI though. ZJ says, great
too.
Unexpected Monday pod. Also, did you know FDK stands for Freddy the Duck Killer? Damn. Got you there.
News to me, but it makes sense.
# my father was a pastor. # Koopenbus. # good morning, Vietnam. # FDK the baby duck killer.
# Koopenbus. Sounds like the sequel to Oppenheimer.
NMS says, to each their own, I found Eyes Wide Shut pretty brilliant. I hate the cryptic theories people made of the film. Go read any YouTube section on it for all the tinfoil hat takes. But Kubrick really crafted such a puzzling and disturbing film at times. Tom Cruise really sold the paranoia while in the movie. And there were just some scenes where the tension was top-notch. But compared to the cinema of... compared to the cinema of Seth MacFarlane, in parentheses, the epic Ted duology, the film was fine. That really caught me off guard. The epic Ted duology.
The head duology. That's so good.
No, fair points, and I understand why people like it. And I will grant you, Tom Cruise.
Sorry, who said this?
NMS.
Okay.
Tom Cruise does pull off the paranoia of the film very, very well. Just wasn't for me. Jaden says Pod 200 title ideas. Now, I would say we already have the Pod 200 title, as you'll see when it comes out, but we'll field some suggestions here. Electric Bussy Lou. BHL Bussyson into the Bussyverse. What a joke. I want my board. We tried the Tom Cruise cake gone wrong sexual question mark. Don't call Brenton Thwaites at 3 a.m. challenge. I feel like it's been a while since Brenton Thwaites kind of made a pod appearance. So here you go, I guess. And lastly, starring BHL in Pinocchio 2, The Bussening, his father truly was a pastor. Also, definitely next characters you could beat up versus episode should feature Blanta as well as Dwanta, but he's been shot in no vital organs, so I guess just normal Dwanta. I think it's just his normal state. That is a good suggestion, though. All good
constantly
ideas.
Constantly shot, but it's not vital.
Anson says, no idea where the trend came from either, but hashtag two of my five uncles are currently pastors. And Daniel says, my dad was never a pastor. God.
Ooh,
they're
mixing it up.
We gotta get to the bottom of this. Also, I feel bad.
If they don't even know, then...
Yeah, who did this? Also, I feel bad because like last week Anson left this like big comment of like real insightful like opinion and information, and we're like, sorry, we can't read it, we're running out of time. And so clearly he's just like, all right, I'll just do the uncle's pastor thing, fuck it. It's the only way. So I'm sorry, Anson, we'd like to encourage still if you have some
takes. Read it, by the way.
We are just terrible podcasters. The Poorly Planned Podcast clip says, Danish Psycho. Very true. And Shrumpy says, ever since the John Wick 4 video, the comments section have been becoming more and more unhinged. There's only one way to fix this. We have to travel back in time to stop Freddy from taking that fat, juicy L. Hashtag back to the bussy. But yeah, I do feel like that is where it all kind of went wrong. Because I feel like also that's where, I don't know, L and W just started being... more common shorthand in the pod comment section, so maybe that's where it all kind of...
I feel like, yeah, that's it. John Wick ruined us.
I guess that's what we get for having mid-takes. but anyway, that's the comment section, and that is the pod for this week. So, I hope you enjoyed. If you did, drop a like, subscribe, hit the bell button, leave a comment down below what you thought of FastX and the other stuff we talked about, and what you thought of this pod in general. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating, a nice review. Tell your friends about the pod. You can find me on YouTube, BHL Hudson, Instagram, Twitter, BHL_Hudson, TikTok, BHL Hudson, Letterboxd, Real BHL Hudson. You can email the pod at bhlhudsonvisit@gmail.com. All these links are down below.
You can find me on Twitter at FDK_DaltSniper. You can find me on Instagram at Fidalgard. You can find me on Letterboxd, FDK_Thwilms, and on YouTube at FDK_SpaceGaming.
Thank you very much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Tyrese!